This is Taking Care in Business, a podcast that dives into the topic of corporate social responsibility from many different perspectives. Host Kathy Pedrotti-Hayes is an expert in CSR and philanthropic giving, and her co-host, Vicki Bolson, is the founder and CEO of Bolson Group, a unified marketing company that was also the first B Corp certified company in Indiana. Kathy and Vicki became friends and equally passionate about CSR when they first worked together several years ago. Join them as they talk about why it is always worthwhile to take care in business.
Hey, Vicki.
Hey, Kathy.
How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I have to tell you, since the last time that we talked and you introduced me to that podcast, Swindled, I've been absolutely obsessed.
Well, I know. You called me that one day and said you listened to every episode.
I know. And now I'm on to Crime Junkie. So I appreciate that. So I need to get like a better, more uplifting kind of topic, I think, to listen to.
I don't know. I just started one called Family Secrets.
Okay.
So that's the next one. But going back to Swindled, don't you think we should do the additional content?
Yeah,
episodes?
I think we should. Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's
too.
Cool. Well, I'm so excited today. We have a wonderful guest. Who I ended up discovering through a friend of mine who just recently went to work for his company. But Robert Carr is the founder and a chief executive officer of Beyond, a company that provides a comprehensive suite of business tools and services, including payment processing, employee management, and point of sale to small and mid-sized businesses. So Bob was also the founder and former chief executive officer of Heartland Payment Systems. You've heard of that, I think, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they are a Fortune 1000 debit and credit card transaction company acquired by Global Payments for over $4.3 billion, with a B, in 2016. So Bob has won a lot of recognition through the years for his technological prowess and his ethical leadership. He's been honored as the Entrepreneur of the Year in the financial services category by Ernst & Young, as the top entrepreneur by Greater Philadelphia Chamber of Commerce, and with the very first annual Lifetime Achievement Award from a payments industry trade group. Since 2016, he served in a key White House post. Did you know that? On the President's National Infrastructure Advisory Council, which analyzes cybersecurity and other matters of vital safety. Here's the really cool thing, and how this kind of ties into this, in addition to all this other cool stuff about Bob. He is the founder and chairman of Give Something Back, a nonprofit charity that provides college scholarships, academic mentoring, and social guidance to students who have faced economic hardship and other adversities. Since its inception in 2003, the organization has contributed more than $50 million for mentoring and scholarships across the country. Bob is also an author, and he's authored a few books, Through the Fires, An American Story of Turbulence, Business Triumph, and Giving Back, and Working Class to College, The Promise and Peril Facing Blue-Collar America, and both of those were distributed by our friends at the University of Illinois.
Oh, darn.
Yeah.
He's intimidating.
No, he's not. He's not. Welcome, Bob.
Thank you very much.
How are you today?
I'm great, thank you.
So, Bob, I got to know a little bit about your story through a friend of mine who works for you at Beyond. And she and I had lunch, and I went to the website after she had kind of talked about you and the company. And you have, what I think, like 10 tenets of business. And the first one has to do with corporate responsibility. That's pretty much baked into your DNA, isn't it?
I would like to think so. I certainly try to practice it as if it is.
So can you tell us a little bit about how that came to be with Beyond, and really even before that with Heartland Payments? Heartland Payment, right? Yeah, Heartland Payment System. Sorry about that.
Well, as my former partner used to say, everything you need to know about business you learned on your mama's knee before you went to kindergarten, which is his way of saying that it's part of your character. It's how you come to believe things. And my philosophy is very, very simple. Do that unto others which you want unto you. The golden rule. And if we're in business and we're not practicing the golden rule, then somebody's losing, and it's not necessary or desirable in business to have winners and losers in transactions. And unfortunately, with all the technology today, there's a lot of folks who have a lot of knowledge that others don't have, and many businesses take advantage of the people who have less information and think they're just more brilliant than everybody else. And that is one of my pet peeves about some of my fellow business people.
Well, I mean, you go so far as to put it on your website as the 10 promises of the company, but it's not just your customers. I know that internally you have a great culture. I think you were ranked one of the best 100 places to work in America by Fortune. I can't remember what year that was, though. 2000.
That was several years ago, and we actually didn't get it. We were at 87% of our employees who said it was a great place to work, mm-hmm. but we didn't qualify for the top 100. We were close, but we didn't have enough people respond to the survey. We were competing against some really big companies.
Yeah, but that's amazing. I mean, and I remember you telling us about that. It was something about a national promoter score, and that story was a good story. What is a national promoter score again?
Net promoter score, I think.
Net promoter score?
Yeah, it's a survey that's done by an independent organization, and basically they call a random selection of your customers and ask them questions about how happy they are and would you recommend our services to your best friend.
Huh.
And we rated second in the industry on that, and we had a positive NPS score, which is an unusual thing in our business because so many customers are very unhappy with the services they're getting or the prices that they're paying.
That's interesting. Well, I know transparency is a big part too about what you guys do for your customers, and I'm sure that also makes your employees feel good about where they work as well.
I think having happy employees is, I've said many times that my happiest moment running a public company that was sold for a lot of money, my happiest moment was the day I got those results back and 87% of our employees said that we were a great place to work. My mother was a waitress. It was okay to call her a waitress back then. And my dad was a blue-collar worker, and even though they were good workers, they did not like their jobs. And I grew up in a home where my dad came and pulled into the driveway at 5:30 and complained about his work every day, basically. He just felt like he was being treated unfairly. My mom worked at night, and she had sore feet, and she liked her job, but she wasn't happy working because she was away from her family. And I just felt growing up that one of the greatest things you can do is be an employer and really give great jobs to people. So that was sort of the longer version of the story about the 87%.
No, that's interesting. Well, and I know, so let's talk for a minute about give something back or give back and how you were motivated to start that and that $50 million that you've been able to give out in scholarships.
Well, this is what I'm really so excited about. We have a very strong ongoing program. It's gone through three iterations, basically three different levels. It got started real simple. I got a $250 scholarship back in the mid-60s when I graduated from high school. It always meant a lot to me. And I always thought whenever I have any extra money, if I ever do, I'm going to give back that money plus some interest. So it took me longer than I thought it would, but I sent them a check. The donor, I gave them a check for $5,000. And I got a call from the president, and she said, Bob, you probably don't remember me, but you were the crossing guard for my daughters at Reed School. And she said, in 53 years of us giving scholarships, you're the first person that's ever made a donation back to us.
Oh, my word.
And that just really stunned me. And I had just sold half of my company for $40 million at that time and was feeling pretty good about that. And they invited me to come to their annual meeting, and it turned out it was their 100th annual meeting. And so I decided to increase that donation to $100,000 and to start a scholarship program at my former high school. And that was the first iteration. We gave money to high-performing poor kids, basically, and we learned that, you know, these kids are going to go to college with or without us. Let's try to help kids who may not even think about going to college. And we started a mentoring program. We started selecting kids in middle school and in ninth grade. And then as we got further into it, about 5 years ago, we changed our program to only accept now foster children and children of incarcerated parents and children who've experienced homelessness. So now we're taking kids who have no hope, no thought about going to college. And we're saying, look, if you study hard and you stay out of trouble and work hard towards your degree, your high school diploma, and get a B average and take the courses that we recommend that you take, you're going to have a free ride to college. And we're in the middle of that program now, and we have 29 university partners across 7 states, and it's the best thing I've ever done in my career. Helping these kids change their life so dramatically is about as rewarding as anything I can think of.
Wow, that's amazing. So you start mentoring them when they're in junior high then? So you kind of earmark them early so you can nurture them along throughout the high school process?
Yeah, we actually now we select them in ninth grade. There's just too many middle schools deal with all the different administrations. So now we pick ninth graders and student counselors and community-based organizations who care about these kids, you know, recommend kids to us, and they fill out an application, and we bring them in a program, and it's hard to believe this, but 97% of the kids that we pick in eighth grade and ninth grade wind up going to college.
Wow.
It's stunning. These kids, we become in many ways their family.
Mm-hmm.
We don't talk about it that way, but that's basically what happens. These kids finally have somebody that cares about them. And foster kids get moved around the country from one home to another at the whim of the foster parent. If the foster parent's angry with you one day, you're gone. And these kids have a garbage bag, and they have all their life's possessions in the trash bag that they're carrying to the next foster home. And it's just a really horrible thing. And for kids who are gay, it's even worse because, you know, those kids get moved around. I know of one person who's got a great job now as a 40-year-old who's gay, who was in 35 foster homes, which is just stunning. How can you have any continuity in your life when that's happening? And we become the continuity for those kids.
You mentioned that you have those 29 university partners, Bob, and you have a unique relationship with them. Can you talk a little bit about the partnerships and how that works? Because, quite honestly, that's the first time I've ever heard about that.
Well, I don't know of any other program like ours,
right.
A few years ago, we decided to go to a few of our university partners and say, what if we gave you a check for $1 million? Would you put 50 of our kids through school? They'll all be Pell Grant eligible and state grant eligible. We'll give you $1 million now. And you put that money in the bank and earn interest on it, whatever. And we're going to start delivering freshmen in high school who are ready to attend school. They don't need any remediation.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to put them through for 4 years. You take $5,000 of that money plus the interest on it each year. And after 50 kids and four years each, then we'll be done unless we renew the program.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the program we're in the middle of right now. We have 1,000 kids that are now either in high school or in college in this program. And we are our retention of kids from 1 year to the next is literally in the 90% range every year. It's stunning how well the program works.
So if you know someone who's 40, then that means you've had this program for a very long time. By chance, does anyone work at Beyond that's graduated through this program?
Would you ask me that again?
Does anyone who has gone through the program work at Beyond?
Yes, we actually do. I have several people that work for Beyond right now, and they're great employees, and they are, about half of our college graduates are also mentors for us because they know the value of mentoring was to them, and they want to help and give back that way.
Yeah, and speaking of employees, how do your employees get involved with Give Something Back?
Well, that's a great question, and I'm glad you asked that question. There's really four levels of engagement that someone who wants to help can get into. The ultimate one, which is very rare, of course, is when someone adopts one of these kids.
Mm-hmm.
And the older the kids are, the harder they are to get placed with adoptive family. But that's a pretty terrific role for anybody to play, to take in a kid who doesn't have a family and create a family for them. What's better than that? Second in our hierarchy is to become a foster parent.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of foster parents. There's 500,000 kids that are in foster care or in need of foster care. And some of them are in it for the money only and don't do a very good job of being a foster parent. But a lot of them are terrific. And being a foster parent, you know, is something that's very helpful if you're a good foster parent. The third level is we work with an organization called CASA,
mm-hmm.
Court-Appointed Special Advocates.
Mm-hmm.
And these are people who work with these kids and make sure that they get all the legal rights that are fulfilled properly. And being a CASA person, it takes a training and it takes time, but you're helping somebody in a material way to have a better life by being a CASA volunteer. And then the next level is mentor, and just about, you know, anybody who cares for these kids can be a mentor. Just showing up is really important, being in the life of one of these kids for, you know, for a long time. We have these kids in our program for seven to 8 years, and we like to be able to have mentors stay as long as that period of time as possible.
It's incredible how many people that you've impacted and changed the lives of. I don't know any company
Mm-mm.
that has ever created a program like this.
No, it's really, I do some work in the nonprofit space too and help with program design and all of that. And it's really ingenious what you've put together. And the really cool thing too, and I don't have to tell you this, Bob, but is that you're impacting the lives of the kids going through the program, but then other generations that follow them, which is so important, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely critical. And one other thing that I've done, and I wish other people would do this, is, you know, I was fortunate and was able to make a lot of money with my company. And then, you know, okay, so now what? And being a young 70-year-old person, I decided to start a new company and have it owned by, at least half of it owned by GiveBack.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we have now, is we have a company that when I move on, half of this company is owned by GiveBack, so GiveBack can continue the program after I'm gone, and that's very important to me.
Oh, that's great. I know that succession planning for companies that are using business as a force for good is important, so that, you know, it's sustainable after you're gone. But it sounds like your whole company is on board with what
mm-hmm.
you're doing. So that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I do believe it's true that our company is all in on this, and mm-hmm. Many of our customers really like the way we do business too.
Bob, one question that we always ask because our listeners are interested is, what advice would you give to another company who is either interested in starting some sort of responsibility programming or growing their programming?
Well, virtually all retail businesses and most B2B businesses are constantly getting asked for donations for different fundraising events. And I think virtually any business they have assets, different kinds of assets, one of which is their employee staff. So talking to your employees and getting a consensus of which type or types of nonprofits would be most recommended, I'd pay attention to those employees and see what we can do to help those nonprofits, not only with money through a payroll deduction, but also by the donation of time, because most of these organizations are trained to help real actual, you know, people who have lives day to day, and many of them are not in good health. And there's just a lot that somebody who cares can do to help. And I think when people are helping like that, it makes them feel better about themselves as well. So there's a personal benefit to it as well.
That's good advice. You know, it's interesting because your response was really coming from the heart of a servant leader. And that's, we don't, I mean, of course, everyone who runs companies like that are servant leaders. But you, I mean, you can just tell it resonates in everything that you do because.
In how you
do
it. Yeah,
because you're looking at, you know, not the obvious way that you can give back to other companies. And that's so true that. What you said that, you know, they have talents. And if you give them volunteer hours to do it on, you know, the clock when they're working for you, which has become very popular, then your employees can contribute in exactly the area that they want to. That's amazing. That's great.
Yeah. Well, Bob, how can our listeners find out more about Beyond and give something back? Could you give us websites to go to? Or?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Our website for the company is called Get Beyond, one word, getbeyond.com. And for the nonprofit, it's called giveback.ngo, non-government organization,
Okay.
giveback.ngo.
Perfect. Well, Bob Carr, thank you so much for the work you're doing and for taking some time out to talk with us and share great information with our listeners.
Well, it's been my pleasure, and thank you for all the great questions.
Okay. You're welcome. Take care.
Bye, Bob.
Bye-bye.
So I'm really excited about the nomination today for Taking Care in Community. It's an organization that I hadn't been familiar with before this nomination, and so was really excited to hear about the great work that they do. They're Indianapolis-based, but they have a global footprint. And the organization is called Global Orphan Foundation. And they are U.S.-based. They're here in Indianapolis. And their mission is to advocate on behalf of orphaned and vulnerable children worldwide and to respond with action. They have witnessed firsthand the struggle to meet the basic needs of orphaned children in third world and developing countries and are committed to easing that burden. They believe that all children deserve a champion.
Huh. Where do they focus their work?
Their primary focus is in the Democratic Republic of Congo, which is located in the center of the African continent. They have the Democratic Republic of Congo has a population of nearly 80 million people and is one of the poorest countries in the world, where the average person lives on less than $2 a day.
Wow.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Wow. And I'm looking at their website, and it looks like they have a program called Camp My Moment, which is a female empowerment and leadership development camp for orphan girls in Nicaragua, and another project called the Pebble Project Village, which it says is a holistic care village striving to provide a robust and abundant childhood and a bright future for orphan children in the Democratic Republic of Congo. So I guess that's actually what the project is called that you referenced.
Yeah.
So, well, this is great. I am going to read more about them. And if our listeners would like to, they can go to globalorphan.org. Let's give a big thank you to our sound engineer, Matt Sosi.
Woo-hoo!
And our Taking Care in Community sponsor, National Bank of Indianapolis. If you'd like to nominate someone or an organization for a future episode, you can visit our website, takingcareinbusiness.com.
Don't forget to subscribe, follow, or download Taking Care in Business wherever you get our podcasts. If you love Taking Care in Business, give us a 5-star rating and leave a review or share this episode on your social media. We are on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Taking Care in Biz, B-I-Z. If you have questions or comments, you can also email us at info@takingcareinbusiness.com. Thank you for joining us today, and until next time, take care in business.